Good. All right. I always say that, all right. Well, don't you hate when God switches up your sermon before you get up? It's the worst thing that can happen, I'll tell you that right now. But we'll be all right. Hallelujah. Father, right now we come before you and we just ask for your anointing to be present, Father God. Father God, I just know that when your Holy Spirit is here, that Father God, not only will I say what's supposed to be said, but the needs of everyone here will be met, Father. I also know that the needs of those people watching by television will be met as well. Father, we don't know which ones are going to be watching, but I know you know. And I know you'll bring the right ones to watch this program today. That they may be blessed by your word. And they may know you as their Savior. For there's no other thing that will bring peace to this earth than you and the knowledge of you. And Father, I just thank you that as you build your case in our hearts, Father God, for who you are, Father, we also can be a testimony to a world that is dying, to a world that needs you, to a world that is certainly right now, in this day, in a very dangerous place. And Father, we know that you bring peace and you bring goodness and you bring kindness and you bring gentleness. You're the Father of love, the Father that brings things that only you can bring. The peace that passes all understanding, that goes beyond the pale of our natural understanding, but goes to where you are, Father. Father, we know when this world is crying out, they're going to need someone to bring an answer. And Father God, the world is beginning to cry. The people in the world are suffering. Even the people in this country with prosperity and goodness and greatness and power are suffering. Why are they suffering? They're suffering because they don't have you. Because you're the only one that brings peace. You're the only one that brings joy. You're the only one that brings goodness and gentleness and a self-control that only you can know. And Father God, you haven't just brought those things that we can just understand them. But Father, you brought them so we can know them and be acting the same way you are. That when we're in a situation that's bad, we can be peaceful. Father, I just thank you and praise you for your word. I know your word touches a dying world. I know your word and your Holy Spirit has the ability to reach deep down into the hearts of people and meet them where they're at. I pray right now, Father God, as we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come in agreement in this church, that Father God, you are the standard bearer for what is right and what is wrong in this world. And Father God, we can know you. And when we do, and when we understand you, and when we have become a part of you, that we become a light unto a dying world, a peace that passes all understanding. We become kindness. We become gentleness in this world. We bring joy into our workplace. We bring joy and goodness into the situations and the circumstances that envelop us every day. Father, let us as Christians shine forth your glorious gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to... I was going to teach on something completely different, but today what I want to do is I want to make a case for Christ. I want to make a case for who Jesus Christ is. You know, a lot of the world is wandering around looking for something. They're looking in self-help books and they're looking in religion. Religion of every flavor and every kind. They're looking in relationships. They're looking into the environment. They're looking into connections with people. They're looking into all kinds of things to fulfill a need in their life. The need to be the need to be significant, the need to be needed. One of the greatest revelations that I've ever come to in my life is understanding who I am. I'm not even talking about who I am in Christ, but who I am as a person in this world. Now, I came to that understanding through a personal relationship with my Father. I came to an understanding of who I am. You know, everybody wonders who they are. They wonder how they can be successful, how they can do things. Some people don't care at all about themselves. I mean, we all come in different variations of different extremes or unextremes in every pocket of society, culture. This world is so huge and so big. But I've come to a revelation and understanding I've come to grips within myself that Christ is the only answer for me. Now, you might be watching my television and you're saying, how can that guy say that I think there's lots of religions? Well, I'm not talking about religion today. Please understand me. I am not talking about religion today. I know there's lots of religions. There's a whole lot of religions out there. There's a whole lot of people serving different interests. Religion is not what I'm talking about. Religion is not what I'm focusing on. Religion is not what I'm going to dwell on today. I might make mention of things that you've heard religious people say, but I want you to understand, be very careful that you don't listen through the filter of things you already know or don't know. Listen to what I'm saying. Because I came to this understanding through a relationship that I have with, I believe in my heart, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the Creator of the universe. It's not built based only on what I read in a book. It's not only based upon this. It's not only based upon things that people have said to me. But it's an enduring relationship that exists within my spirit, my heart, deep within me, and I have a connection to something bigger than myself. See, this book, you can study it all day long. And there's a lot of people that study the Bible. There's a lot of studying going on about other religions. There's a lot of studying going on in the earth, period. But I'm talking about a Creator of the universe, the one that if everyone knew Him, they would be studying. Like, for instance, let me look at it this way. If I were to read a book about Pastor Cook, I can formulate an opinion upon Pastor Cook. I could even build a religion based upon worship of Pastor Cook. Is that not true? But if I've never met the man, how do I really know him? The book itself can give me a glimpse of who he is. It can give me an idea or a perspective of who he is. But until I've met him, I don't really know him now, do I? See, and the Father doesn't want people studying him. Now, granted, we're going to learn things about God in the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. It's the written testimony. But, I want you to think about this Bible we hold in our hands. It's a culmination of reports from people that experienced something. This isn't a book about some person that they didn't know about. In fact, if the whole of New Testament is written by people that had an eyewitness testimony of who Christ was, save Paul. That's why he says he's the least among the brethren. Why? Because he didn't even have eyewitness testimony of who he was in the natural. But I thank God for the testimony of Paul and God calling him, because it lays a standard for me, because I didn't see Christ with my physical eyes. I didn't know Him. But something happened when I learned of Christ and what He did for me. So to understand truly what God's all about, let's go back to the beginning of time. No better place to start than there, right? Because we believe there's a beginning. I believe there's a beginning. Some people don't believe that. I can respect that. I just don't agree with it. Okay? I respect you've got your opinion. And one of the greatest things that God, I believe, one of the greatest gifts God gave us is the right to choose. And you know what? You have a right to choose not to receive Him. You have a right to choose not to accept Him. I could choose not to believe Pastor Cook is here. But would I be right? No. There's going to be 300 or 400 or 500 people in this room that will tell me, you're a complete liar. Why? Because they can look and see Him. So don't come and tell me that I don't know Christ when you haven't seen Him or known Him. Because I believe I have. I may not have physically seen Him, but I believe something happened to me. Let's go back and say, if there's a father and he wants to have children, how would he do that? Well, if you're God, the Bible says, you said, I created man in my image. So we believe that the Father created the human race. That's what we believe. I believe that. Yes. Why? Because it makes sense to me. You know, I always go, what makes sense? If I was a God and I had a creation and I had a desire to see it glorified even more, if I had a desire to deposit who I was into somebody else, then I would have to create something that had the ability to receive that. Right? So if you are God and you're omnipotent and you're all-knowing and you're the creator of the universe and you want to deposit yourself, who you are in nature and character. You know, I want you to think about it, all the parents of the world, all the parents in this room. When you have children, we have them for various reasons, but in the end you have them. And I don't care, every parent has a desire for their children to succeed. It's wired in everybody. Now, you might not act upon that desire. You might not move in such a way that it builds any kind of good thing in their life. But in wired inside of us, I personally believe, at least for me, I have a desire for my children to become right people, become honorable, to become people of respect and dignity, because those are the values that I treasure in my life. I want to deposit in them a bit of who I am. And they are a bit of who I am. They have my DNA. I mean, do you know, they map DNA now and they can tell you exactly which children are mine. I guarantee you, my children are my children. They have me inside of them. A part of me is deposited in them. My DNA is in them. And God, being a father, wanted children. Why? So He could map His DNA in a creation. Now, God could create anybody. He could. I believe God's capable of doing just about anything. If you think we're great and the things we're doing technologically nowadays, that pales in comparison to what God could do. Amen? He transcends time, place, everything. He can do anything you could possibly think or imagine. But He chose to create a little race of people, a little bit of Himself, in a little blue world in the universe. Why? Ask yourself why. Think about it for a second. Ask yourself for 1 second, why would God want to do that? Why would the Father of the universe, the Creator, want to do that? Ask yourself. I only have to think as a father thinks of his children to understand why. He wanted someone to love that could love him in return the way he loves. There's no greater place of honor than to have your children stand in front of you and say, Dad, Mom, I love you. I honor you. I respect you. It's something that transcends all of humanity, period. All of cultures, everything. Every father wants his children to be people of honor. Well, that's what the Father wanted. But He knew in His creation, when He created this human race with the ability and the capacity to receive all of who He was, He had to give them one unique characteristic that had a dangerous possibility. That unique characteristic is choice. In His infinite wisdom, He knew that humanity in Adam and Eve would have the possibility, the potential, to not choose to serve Him. Is that true? Why do we know that? It's true because He gave us that right. And when He set it in motion with the law of Adam and Eve, with the Adamic law, when He set that law in motion, nothing can stop it. Because God is not a God that He can lie. What He says is true. What He says is right. When that law was set in motion, it had some possibly great consequences and some possibly really negative consequences. But God knowing the possibility that humanity in Adam and Eve could choose not to serve Him, created another plan. I like to call it Plan B. And how do I know that? Well, it's really clear in the Bible. Let's go. Genesis. And for those of you watching by television, if you don't have a Bible, you just go ahead and find one. And you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Now this is the story of Adam and Eve eating the apple in the Garden of Eden, right? Okay, God's talking to Eve now. He said, "What are you doing now?" Verse 14, "So the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because of you, you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet." Now, we can go into Isaiah, and we can go into the New Testament, and that is a direct reference to the Christ that was to come. See, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He didn't put them in knowing that He knew they had the potential to sin. And so in His grace and mercy, He said, I'm going to put a plan B in operation. You know what? This is my personal belief. My personal belief is that Satan is a spawn of a previous world where God gave some resemblance of choice. I don't know the details of it. The Bible doesn't go into it in detail. But He had choice. And inside of Himself, inside of Satan, inside of Lucifer, inside of Himself, He created something contrary to God. I want you to think about all the times that you've ever thought about something, and you thought good, and you thought bad, and you were left with two choices. Right? Everybody's been left with two choices, whatever realm you're in, good or bad. Okay? Well, Lucifer was positioned in a place where he had good on one hand and bad on the other. And you know what? There was no bad in God, so he came up with that thing himself. Because we believe God is all good. I personally believe God is all good. I choose to believe in my heart of hearts that a God that is good is the one I'm serving. I don't believe that God's a creator of evil. I don't believe evil comes. I don't believe sickness nor disease nor anything bad comes from Him. I believe it's as a result of living in a world that's dying and decayed, that has a devourer called Lucifer that's running around like a wolf, taking on those people whomever he can destroy. He wants to destroy everything he can. Why? Because he hates us. Why? Because he was the originator of sin. You know what happened more than anything? The Bible says that pride welled up in Lucifer. That he began to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I want you to think of being in a company or a corporation in America, and you have a CEO that is the controller of that company. That's the one that's possibly in control. He delegates a lot of authority to other people, right? And then there's somebody in within the midst of that organization that gets an idea that they're more important than the CEO. Well, that's a dangerous road to go down, isn't it not? Why? If you've been in any company or any place or any situation where that's happened, you know it's not a very healthy situation. That is exactly what happened in God's corporation. Someone within his rank and structure of delegated authority got an idea that they were bigger than him. Well, guess what? There's no bigger than him. He was sadly mistaken. He was wrong. He was incorrect. He made a serious error in judgment. Why? Because he thought of himself more highly than he ought thought of himself. And I believe the reason he could get there is because when I read my Bible, I see a God that doesn't hoard over his creation in glory. We know God's glorious, but he's a humble God. He's a serving God. He's the kind of God that we want to be involved with. Amen. It puts his own neck on the line for his creation. Yep. Amen. Lucifer probably couldn't stomach that. Why? Because he was power hungry. And he saw the power that God existed or operated in. I've seen it happen time and again in people. You've seen it happen in people. Is it a far-fetched concept to believe that that could have happened in that creation? God truly, truly loves us. He loves us as a father loves his children. Everyone in this whole world. He loves us as a father loves his children. Every single person. He loves us as a father loves his children. He loves us as a father loves his children. He doesn't love religion. He loves us as a father loves his children. He loves us as a father loves his children. A good father. The kind of father you would wanted when you were a kid. The one that was always there. That always had the right thing to say. That disciplined you, but you knew they disciplined you because they were supposed to do it. Because it was the right thing to do. Who never lost their temper. Who never got angry out of a situation that you made a mistake. I want you to think about the perfect father. The perfect father, and ask yourself, who is that? There isn't one on this earth. But I can tell you there is one written in this Bible. And more than that, it's someone that can connect with your spirit on the inside of you. And he can be there for you every second of every day. Humanity needs someone to help them. The help is there. The help is there. Humanity needs someone to save them. The salvation is there. When we look at Genesis and we read that verse and we see between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. It's an exact reference to what Christ that is to come is going to do to Lucifer. Now the Jews, they look and they're searching for a Messiah to come. The Messiah's come. They missed it. Why? Because he didn't come like they expected him to come. They didn't expect a servant. They didn't expect a savior that would serve people and love people. They just certainly did not expect someone to come and die on a cross. But that was the plan. Why? Because that's the nature and character of God. It's part of who he is. Love, servanthood. Those are the attributes that live in God. They exist in God. They're the biggest part of who he is. When you think about God, you can think about power. I mean, imagine saying a word and making it so. Make every word you say is so. I mean, that's a scary thought. It's no wonder that he cannot lie. Because if he did lie, all of creation would crumble in and of itself. Why? Because every word hinges upon who he is in his nature and his character. And why we believe that God is a God of honor and truthfulness is because he can't be anything else. It doesn't make sense for him to be anything else. Some people say God brings danger, brings sickness, disease. He brings all these things, calamities on the earth to teach us something. I can't stomach it. A God that would do that. A God that would do that is sick. Period. He's a sick God. He's sick. My God can't be like that. Everything that happens in this earth is as a result of someone that had a choice that made a bad choice. That someone was Adam. But someone came along bigger than Adam, greater than Adam, the second Adam, that made a choice that changed the foundation and formation of this earth. It may not seem changed now, but it's changed in you and it's changed in me if we'll receive who He is. The Bible says all we have to do is accept Him, trust Him, believe Him, receive Him. Go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." I want you to think about the law. The law is a set of standards and regulations written down that you should follow them. That's all it is. The law is a standard. It's a set of regulations, standards. You can read them, you can follow them. Right? It's easy. No, not really, but it is conceptually easy to do. Thou shalt not covet. Okay, I'm not going to covet. That's what I'm choosing not to do. I'm choosing not to covet. I'm not going 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 to covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. How many people in here have ever told a lie? I've done it a couple times in my life. And I know the law. See, the law is in the book. It's written. It's a set of standards. It's a set of guidelines. But it could not bring a connection with humanity back to its creator. The law could never connect humanity back to its creator. Why? Because when Adam sinned, something happened. What happened? We know what happened, right? What happened was sin nature entered in and life nature entered out. The nature of Lucifer, you could say, entered in some degree. The same thing that spawned out of him became a part of who humanity is. That's why God said there is no redemption for Lucifer and his bunch. Because sin began with them. They created sin on their own because it wasn't in the kingdom of God prior to him coming up with it. It wasn't there. It was not existent in creation. There was only one rule of thumb, and that was the law of life. The kind of life that God has, the kind of life I was talking about that doesn't change. It's unmovable. It's unchangeable. It's never going to change. It just doesn't change. Because if it did, we're all dead. We might as well all just count it. If God changed, we might as well all just count it as done. We're done. We're history. All of humanity is gone. History. We're done. But that's not the God I serve. Sin began in him. And when that sin took place in Adam and Eve, they chose to become a partaker of that sin. They chose to become a partaker of that sin. They received that nature. They received that kind of understanding. The knowledge of good and evil. See, the devil used something to get them. But all they had to do, this is all Adam would have had to do. See, Adam had a choice. God said, do this. And within Adam, God knew he had the ability to choose good or bad. God presented good and bad to him. Right? He said, now choose. And Adam made a choice. Now all he would have had to do, was say, Lucifer, God told me not to eat. I'm going with him. He didn't do that. That's all he'd had. And it has spared a whole lot of things. Wouldn't it? But that's not what he did. God told me not to eat. He didn't do that. He said, give me the apple, honey. You eat it first, though. Okay? And when he did, they sinned. They fell short. They violated something that God told them not to do. I want you to think about, from the standpoint of being a parent, if you're a parent, or even kid, if your dad comes and tells you, or if I as a father tell my children, don't touch the fire, do they have a knowledge of what fire is at that point? Probably not, because they're babies, they're little. They don't know. Don't touch the fire. But I know by personal experience that's not a good thing to do. Now, a child, some children that are very compliant will just go, okay. Most children, because unfortunately, they have a little bit of the sin nature in them when they're born here. They're going to test the waters and they're going to say, "Don't! I want to touch that thing. I don't know what he says not to, but I got to try it out. It may be okay. It could be good. Maybe it's not all evil." Okay? So they touch and they get burnt and it hurts. Right? They learn quickly that, wow, he said something. Now, for you teenagers in the room, the sooner you can learn to listen, the better off you'll be. And that's true. Because what happens is it takes us till about 20, 25, 30, and then we finally get a revelation of what our parents were trying to tell us. Right? Usually it really starts to click in when we start having our own kids. That's what they were saying. I should have listened. Right? Well, that's what God was doing with his children, Adam and Eve. He said, here's a choice. One side is good, the other side is bad. Choose. They made a bad choice with dire and dire, dire, dire consequences for all of humanity and every person that's ever been born since that time. But thank God we serve a God that loves his children. And he created a way for us. That way is Christ. The way is Christ. For Christ is the end of the law. It's the end of the standard that says don't touch or do touch. Why is he the end of the law? Because when Christ died on the cross and came up, when we simply believe, he doesn't just give us a standard to abide by. He changes our very core of who we are. He changes our nature. What was once sin is now life. The Bible refers to it as Zoe, that's a Greek term, for life. The God kind of life. What was now in Adam before he sinned is now in us. As a simple act of believing in the Messiah. The one that was to come. See, Christ came to defeat sin. You know what? Christ was passing a test his whole 30 years he lived on this earth. But was he passing a test for himself? No. See, God said, I'm going to send my own son. I want you to think about if you were God and you had only one prized possession. And that was it. One prized possession. But you also had a desire for many more prized possessions. If you only had one, how hard it would be to send the one to save the many. That's exactly what God did. That's exactly what God did. He sent the one prized possession to save you and save me. To connect us back to Him so that we could have that same kind of nature and life that was in the Father in the beginning. See, I told you I'm making a case for Christ. And I'm not lying. Because you may be sitting in this room here today. You may be sitting in this church, and you've heard the gospel message 100 times. You may have grown up in church, and you've heard the gospel. I want you to hear the case for Christ. Because it's not just coming to church and being raised in church and knowing God from coming and being a part of a family that comes to church. It's not just that. It's about having a relationship with Him. That relationship that connects you to Him, connects you directly to Him in a personal way, to the Creator, to the Father. It's bigger than just religion. It's bigger than standards. It's bigger than law. It's bigger than anything you can possibly imagine. It's bigger than that because it changes the very fabric of who we are. Christ is the only one that can bring that. That's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness, a right standing, to be able to stand right in front of God, unashamed, as His Son, and say, I love you, Daddy, Daddy. That's it. I love you, Dad. You're my Dad. You're my Father. You're the one that's close to me. He's the Creator of the universe, but He loves His children. He's the end of the law. For a right standing to everyone who believes. See, I'm making a case for Christ here. That you'll believe in Him. Not just come to church, but you'll believe in Him. Not just study the Bible, but that you'll believe in Him. Not just think about Him once in a while, but you'll believe from the core of who you are in Him and what He did for you. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend from the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you. And you don't have to bring Christ right here. That's all it's saying. He doesn't have to stand in front of me. He doesn't have to, I don't have to have a visual sense. I know in the innermost part of my being that Christ will be here. How? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, that if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe from your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. And somebody might say, well, why do I have to confess? Why do I have to confess Jesus? Well, that's the reason right there. Because what you say is a result of what's in you. Stand up for what you believe in. You're not afraid to talk about M&M and all the other things you believe in. If you really believe in Christ, why not confess Him? Do you? You're not afraid to stand up for everything else that you possibly hold dear and near to your heart. You're not afraid to say those things. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Will not be put to shame. In other words, there's no shame or guilt or anything in Christ. There's an answer for your life in Christ. There's an answer for... You know what the bottom line is? You have to have a desire for the things of God. You have to have a desire to connect back to the Father. And this world needs it more than anything else. This world needs to know their Savior. This world needs to know the Christ that we present every single day. It just does. It just does. This world needs to know Him. Why? Because it's the only way to peace. It's the only way to salvation in the sense of being saved from a life of sin. Sin, in no uncertain terms, is a separation from the Creator. Every person's going to sooner or later understand what separation is. Either you're going to understand it when you confess Him here, or you're going to understand it when you pass from this death, from this life to the next life. And you're going to understand what separation from Father is. The key is understanding it here. And to make people understand it here. To try to make a case for Christ in your own life. To try to be someone that stands up in front of people and says, I am someone that's going to confess and stand and raise a standard for who Christ is in this life. To be a light bearer. That's all Christ is asking for us. And the thing about it that's great is that when He changes you from the inside, you're connected to Him. It's no longer something that you're just reading and studying about. You're connected in such a way He impacts you daily. You can talk to God any second of any day for the rest of your life. Because He made a way for you to do it. But the first step is believing. 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 The first step is to believe. For Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. You got to believe in Him. Why are we so passionate as Christians to believe and accept and to receive Christ? Because it's the only way to really connect yourself to the Father. It's not religion. It's a connection. It's a relationship. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank You for this message. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Father, I thank You that You saved us through the sacrifice of Your Son. Father, when You said in Genesis, You shall bruise His head and He shall bruise... I don't know how it goes, but however You said it, Father, in Genesis. You know, the head, bruising the head, heel thing. Father, when You said that, You anticipated Christ coming. You anticipated Christ coming. You anticipated Christ coming. You anticipated the possibility that Adam could sin. You anticipated the potential. You anticipated the potential. And Father God, You made a way for us to believe and receive. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, right now in this room, I just thank You and praise You that there's people in this room that don't know You. Father, I wouldn't want to end a service like this without giving them the opportunity. Without giving the opportunity to get connected to the guy I was talking about. See, I know it because I know it. From personal experience, I'm convinced 100% that He's my Father. I may mess up. I may screw up. I may make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I don't always do what I should be doing. But in the end, I can finish my day out by saying, He is my Father. Amen. If you're in this room today and you do not know Him in that way, you may have grown up in this church. You may have been saved what you think your whole life, but you don't feel like you know Him like that. I want you to raise your hand up in the air. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. You don't really feel you know your Father. You don't feel like you know Him in that way. I see those hands. Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand up high. See, God wants to connect Himself to you in such a way that He can bring you the peace that passes all understanding. You know, the next thing I'm going to ask you to do is a little harder. It's a little bit harder because it's taking it to the next step. You're saying by raising your hand to me with every eye closed in this room, and if there's any more, I want you to raise your hand up high. Raise your hand up high. You're saying to me there's nobody else looking around. You're saying to me that you believe. But more important than saying it to me, you're saying it to the Father, that you believe. But the Bible tells us that we have to go to the next step and we have to confess. So with the same passion and the same conviction that you confess the other things in your life that you believe in, I want you to think about how much more you should confess the Father. And you should believe in Him and confess Him. Not only to us, but to everyone around you. Because He's going to save you. I have no doubt. So I want you to stand up to your feet and I want you to come up front right now. I know it's embarrassing, but I want you to come up here so we can confess together. If you were raising your hand, don't be ashamed. Just come right up here, right now. I don't care if you think you're big and you've been in this church for 30 years. It doesn't really matter to me who you think you are. What matters is what's going on in your heart right now. What matters is what's going on in your heart right now. See, because confession has to take place. Belief takes place. Then confession takes place. I don't want you to be ashamed. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to be proud of. Just like we're proud of the other things we do in our life. God wants you, period, to be a part of His life like a father loves his child. Amen. Can I have some personal workers come up? Hallelujah. If anybody else would like to come up, I'd like you to come up. Don't be ashamed. I want you guys to look at me right now. Right now, you are making a confession of what you said you believe in. I believe that. And I believe that when you go with these personal workers, they're going to help you to understand and pray through what you just are confessing before us. But from this day forward, you're a different person. Old things are passed away. New things are beginning. You're a different type of person. Doesn't mean you'll not make mistakes and you'll do some things that you used to do, but you're going to be in a different set of frame set of mind. You're going to be like what I said. There's going to be a lot more peace in your life. I believe it in my heart. There's going to be a lot more joy. There's going to be a lot more things that are positive and a lot less suffering. Doesn't mean a Christian walk is easy, but it does mean that the answer to your questions are found in Him. He'll connect you right to Him. And that book that I was talking about has a roadmap to get there. But in the end, it's what happens inside of you that matters. And that's something nobody can take away from you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now, I just thank You for these four lovely individuals, five. I just thank You and praise You, Father God, that You'll go with them, You'll touch them. And Father God, You'll minister to them in such a way that they have an understanding of who You are, the Father. I thank You and praise You for all You do in us every single day as a Christian. I thank You for me, Father, for helping me to be a better person. Every day. I've known You many years. But Father, I grow every day. And I thank You for helping me to become better every day. Bless these people as they go with the personal workers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around. There's someone behind you there.
Oh, we see my full story.
Bless you guys. Pastor Cook?
Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Let's stand. Praise You, Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. How many know God is answering prayer? Amen. If your loved ones are not saved, keep praying for them. God's talking to them. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for what You're doing in each and every one of our hearts. Father, may we all have a hunger for Your word and let it get into us and change us and become more like You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You for that message and the response for it, Lord. Touch their hearts and meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.